Welcome to the Scary Movie Project, where darkness meets delight. We review the creepiest films, from classics to new fright. We dive into haunted places, the eerie, the unknown. So grab your popcorn and don't watch alone. From the supernatural tales to the shadows that creep, we're your guide through nightmares that'll haunt your sleep. Tune in, if you dare, to the horrors we dissect. You're in for a thrill on the Scary Movie Project.
The podcast you are about to listen to is an account of the movies which befell a group of horror fans. In particular, Tara Garwood and her intrepid friend, Matt Lolich. Had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, although they would have wished, to see as much of the mad and macabre as we are to see in those movies. For them, an idyllic summer movie became a nightmare, and they loved it. The movies that they watched were to lead to the creation of one of the most terrifying podcasts in the annals of American history. The Scary Movie Project.
Hey, 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 everybody. This is the Scary Movie Project, the podcast where we talk about scary movies and share more spoilery spoilers than there are sharks in the ocean. I'm Tara.
Hello, I'm Matt. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but this year on 4th of July, fishing season is open on you. I don't know if I agree with that tagline, but it is a tagline for one of the great movies of all time, Jaws.
And with us today is actor, director, producer, podcaster, and now published author, Breanne Davis. She just came out with her first book, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, which you can get on Amazon. Her favorite movie is Jaws, and her favorite horror movie podcast is The Scary Movie Project.
Yay!
We just made that up for you. So
all true.
I love all it. I love it.
Yeah, almost all completely true.
Yes. So true.
Oh my God, I love it. That's great. I love Jaws. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you again.
Yeah, I'm
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Such a great movie. And this was like, I had seen it when I was young and been really scared of it and probably didn't even like watch the whole thing. I think I like hid a lot. So this was my first time really watching it as an adult and I loved
it. This, wow.
I watched it so many, every time it's on TV, I just put it on and leave it in the background when I'm working or writing. And I watched it since I was 6 years old. I love
it. It's just so like well-written and well-acted and smart. It's just really good.
I mean, this was the beginning of what? The summer blockbuster and this like Spielberg's, I mean,
he
started it.
Yeah, because summer movies were like the crapola movies before this. And they released it then because they had to push it back, I think, because production was taking too long. And so they had to push it back and it became the first big blockbuster.
Yep.
So, okay, so let's dive in. Please. So 1975, this movie came out. Yes. Director, Steven Spielberg.
I've heard of him.
And written by Peter Benchley and Carl Gottlieb, based on the novel by Peter Benchley.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So opening credits, guys. Spielberg uses this distorted like audio of squawking birds over the Universal logo, which is an homage to Alfred Hitchcock's opening for The Birds.
That's great.
So cool. So it did the same thing. And then the music, of course, is composed by John Williams. So we get those radar sounds and then that like iconic.
Yeah.
Dun-na.
Springs. So good.
Dun-na. Donna, 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 right?
Yeah.
Yes, you do better than I do. So we have the titles over this underwater traveling shot, and then we cut to this beach party. It's very chill 70s kind of beach party.
Hanging out, man.
And this young man and woman like smile at each other.
What's
and
your
they...
name? Chrissy, where are you going?
Yeah, she's so excited. And they go off for a swim, and she strips and beats him to the water while he's, like, struggling to get his clothes off. And we get our first underneath the water shot of her swimming.
Best scene ever.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. Good. She's silhouetted above you. Mm-hmm. It's just really,
with
really
good. With her legs swimming, and, you just feel like it's coming. It's like, ah,
something bad. Well,
and I'm so glad you said that you feel it, because so the cinematographer actually devised new equipment to facilitate that underwater shooting.
That's dope.
Including a rig to keep the camera stable regardless of the tide and the waves, and a sealed submersible camera box.
Woo. What do they say? What are two of the things they say never to do when you're shooting footage? Never shoot on a boat, and never use like pets or children, right?
Never use pets or children. Yes. No animals.
I've done both, and it's torture. Absolutely torture.
Of course you've done both.
And of course, the whole thing about this, we can get into it later, is, you know, this production was a disaster. Like, this was
horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. The shark kept breaking. Everything went wrong.
Everything went wrong.
They thought they had a piece of shit when they were doing it. Yeah. They're like, this is a piece of shit.
I think they called it Flaws instead of Jaws on set.
I don't doubt it. That sounds about right.
So we see Chrissy's face as she gets jerked under, and she's like dragged around on, and they apparently had her like attached to these weights in this harness, and they just like jerked her back and forth.
They had ropes around her, and they jerked her with ropes.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. She was getting whiplash. She said that her back hurt so bad, and that people were pulling her. And that's how they got that jerky.
They say it took 3 days to film that sequence. That must have hurt so bad.
I'm sure she had so many bruises, because just doing any scene in movies, you get so many bruises. So I can't imagine what her body looked like after.
Every time I've done any acting, like on stage or in film, I've hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
So Linda Blair in Exorcist, when she had that rig, when they were flipping her up and down in the bed, it like jacked her back up for years, she said afterwards.
Because back then too, they have all these rules now, but back then they didn't. It was like the wild, wild west. You just get it done.
Rub some dirt on and get it back out there. You'll feel fine. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So
And she wasn't a star, you guys. Right. If she like was a just day like, player, you're right. like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. They don't care.
Nope. Especially back then more. Sure. Even. Yeah. So in the morning, the next morning, Brody, our main character, Sheriff Brody, and his wife wake up. And I love this. The kids are in the backyard, he says. And she says, in Amity, you say yad.
Yeah, yad, and you park the car.
You say yad. Yeah,
that's right. I love that.
And so he gets a call, and he heads out in his sheriff's truck. And the
That really bad swing set that you know they got hurt on. Yes. You guys remember you had swing sets like that back in
right,
like the
that crappy, mine was all, like, mine 70s was all swing metal, set?
And if it got metal hit by, struck get, by like, lightning, hit. Yeah, yeah. We would have all been dead.
Well, and God forbid you should want to like slide down the slide on your swing set and it's hot metal.
Yes, 1,000 degrees and you burn yourself.
No, those swing sets too, they have all those those drills are like sharp edges, and I always cut myself. So every time I see that when I watch it, I'm like,
I think it was the swing set. It was like the swing set from Texas Chainsaw Massacre that they show in that one scene, right? Yeah.
Probably. Anyways. Okay, we're talking about this swing set. Okay.
So swing set. So he drives past the swing set. The young man from the night before is telling Brody the girl must have drowned, you know, because he can't find her. And then the deputy has found her washed up on shore. And we don't see much, arm like sticking out. And I think there's like crabs around it.
Yeah. Eaten by bugs.
There's crabs. There's like a little crab crawling on it.
It's pretty awesome.
And I love it. We get back to the office and he's typing up his report, and probable cause of death, he puts shark attack. And man, can we talk about how busy this office is? Like constantly his secretary is like in his face, like, what about this? And what about that?
Right.
And his deputy is like, I don't know. It's just like everything the time.
What's his face from Andy Griffith, right? Sort of kind of reminds you.
Oh yeah.
His assistant.
Yeah. His deputy. Yeah. Yep. So Brody goes and gets supplies and he makes so that they can make signs. And the deputy pulls up and says, a bunch of kids are doing their swimming badge. Like a bunch of Cub Scouts are doing their swimming badge out at the beach and they can't reach them. So he's like, get the signs up. And he heads out there and he has to take a ferry. And Vaughn, who I think is the mayor.
Oh, he's such a douchebag.
Okay, he's the mayor. Yeah.
And his suit with his anchors on it. Like, oh my God, what?
Oh my God, he's so dorky. It's so cute though.
You want to have a panic on the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good impression. So he gets on the ferry and he basically tells him that. You yell shark, we got panic on our hands. And
though. So, I mean, it's true.
It is true that you're going to have a panic if you yell shark.
That is pretty true.
People at a beach are going to panic.
Yeah.
So then, like, next shot, Brody and his wife and kids are at the beach, and he's, like, nervous about anybody going in and everything. He's watching, keeps seeing things that he thinks are a shark, but none of them actually are a shark. And the guy comes out of the water with his, like, funny swim cap on, and he says, "We all know about you, Chief. You don't go in the water at all, do you?"
Right.
And of course he replies, "That's nice some hat. Bad hat, Harry." Yeah. That iconic line. So now someone's dog has disappeared, and we start getting underwater Pippet. Shots again.
Pippet.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's calling the dog, get the underwater shots again. So we know something's coming, and a woman on a float is pulled under, and everyone else runs out of the water. And this young boy named Alex is missing. Ooh, and his mother now has posted a reward for anyone who kills the shark.
Ugh.
So
that breaks my heart. Having a son now, and that scene now, when I see it, is totally different when I didn't have a child.
That scene when he flips like on the raft, and you see like the
torso. Oh yeah, I missed him flipping over. Yeah,
and you see the tail come up and the blood just fly. Like, that's the most violent. Well, no, the Quinn scene later, but it's pretty. it's fairly gruesome to see it. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of like disturbing. And is that scene too when he sees it? Where they have that great, what do they call it? The Zolly shot where you're zooms in. Of Brody when he's sitting on the beach. I love
it. It's when Brody realizes that he's been shot
real quick. Yeah.
And so this is actually, it's often called the jaw shot. They're forward tracking and zooming out at the same time.
They use it in Goodfellas.
It's
in
opposite of the shot in Vertigo that was invented by Erman Roberts for Vertigo.
That was a
forward zoom and reverse tracking. Yeah. And this
it totally throws your mind
tracking
off.
Reverse zoom.
I love it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. When that kid gets eaten by a shark. Ooh, man, that scene is.
Whoa. It's rough.
Yeah.
So then they're in the town hall, and Brody tells him he's closing all the beaches, and everyone like starts yelling. And then Vaughn is like, "Oh, but only for 24 hours.
It's not long. Only 24 hours.
There you go. We got to have Matt do all the Vaughn lines.
Yeah.
I'll do everybody.
So a man scratches his nails down the chalkboard for attention. And, you know, we know, okay, it's Quint. Mm-hmm. He says he'll get the shark, but it'll be 10K to catch and kill it. For 3K, I'll find it.
He says.
10K. Yeah, for that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
Catch him and kill him for 10. Yeah, hold it. Now, the best thing about that, if you guys notice, is the crony he's got with him. Like, that guy that just is kind of like following him around is awesome.
He didn't even notice the crony.
Oh yeah.
He's just like kind of hanging around. He just doesn't say anything.
Totally,
and he's just like Quint's crony. And I don't know what the purpose of him is, but he's hilarious.
So the city councilman says, we'll take it under advisement.
I forgot the great line. You got any first when he comes and hits the chalkboard? Y'all know me. Know what I do for a living.
Oh, yeah. You do that one so good, too. He's so good at the
voiceover.
I'm here to do stupid impressions. Yeah, the voiceover. That's what they pay me for.
For the impressions. So the city councilman says he'll take it under advisement, and Quint leaves. And then we cut to Brody is reading about sharks, and his wife, Ellen, makes him stop. And I think I had that book, too.
A Time Life Sharks book or something, right?
Yeah. And it's like, but it shows attacks and stuff. Like,
yes, it
it shows attacks, and it shows, you know, the boat.
I want
and
this book.
How yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. I think I looked at that book in the library a number of times.
Awesome. I believe you did. I believe it.
I'm going to order it off of eBay.
You should.
So his wife makes him stop, and I love it. She says, "Want to get drunk and fool around?" And he says, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, all right.
I just love that one little moment between them. It's so cute. But then one of their sons is out in the new boat that he got for his birthday, and he's sitting in it. Brody makes him get out because, again, he's freaked out about the water and the shark, and we know he doesn't like going in the water, so he's already, like, nervous about it. So now two fishermen go out to try and catch the shark with a roast, with
his
one of their wives' roast.
His wife's roast, that's right.
And a tire off the pier.
And I'm sure they're drunk.
Oh yeah.
Gotta be wasted.
There's no doubt about that.
And that roast was probably frozen. I highly doubt it smelled really great for the shark to smell. Unless she cooked it,
in which case she would be even madder.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like the blood is what sharks can
sense.
Right. So would the roast even really work?
Maybe it was just refrigerated.
I would think that it's just an eating machine. I mean, that's a line from the movie too, right? It's an eating machine. All it does is swim.
I feel like you want to make
babies.
Like a nice room temp. It's a perfect
killing machine.
A room temp roast.
A nice room temp roast
for the shark.
That's right.
So they're out trying to catch the shark off the pier, and the shark comes for the roast. And of course, instead of being caught on their chain, it just pulls the whole damn pier apart.
I love it. Yeah.
One of the guys falls in the water.
Awesome.
And he just barely gets out and back onto the pier before the shark gets him.
So scary.
It's really tense. Like, yeah, it's a very moment. Tense.
And I've seen it. Moment. Even every time you see it, you're still like, get on the pier. Get your little boots up there.
Oh, God. He's like trying to crawl up. It's almost has his foot. And you're like, oh, God, that's going to be bad.
Right.
So then Brody's trying to corral all the people the next day who are out trying to catch the shark, right? They're all like going out in their boats and like, everybody's going to be the one who catches the shark. They're fighting over who gets out of the, who gets like, unhitched from the pier first and everything.
Could you imagine? But that's such a great scene. It just shows like humanity at its like stupidest, basically.
Like, I feel like we've seen that lately.
Go out there and just, let's just do whatever the hell we want. Yeah, I thought that was a perfect
shark.
That was like a perfect slice of life. Like, let's just go out there and we're just going to be bounty hunters.
Right. Oh my God. So now this newcomer shows up, Matt Hooper from the Oceanographic Institute up the way. And Brody is called to ask them to send someone. But at first he like doesn't know who he is. So he's like kind of ignoring him. And then he finally gets his attention and they show Hooper the remains of the first victim. The Chrissy. Mm-hmm. And he does an autopsy and he says, no boating accident.
Can I do it? Can I do it?
Because Do it.
This isn't a boating accident. This wasn't Jack the Ripper. It was a shark. And that's always, I've seen this movie so many times. This is pathetic. That's when they always cut to commercial too, right? When
Say that. It's so annoying when they cut to commercial.
Wasn't a boating accident. Wasn't Jack the Ripper yet? It was a shark.
And then they cut straight to Mikey likes it.
Right, probably.
Oh my God. So annoying. I hate those commercial breaks. They're the worst.
Yeah. I miss them. No, I don't. Not at all. Not at all.
But that shows how often I've seen it.
So one of the groups has now caught a shark and everyone's really excited. And Hooper tells them, it's a tiger shark.
Tiger shark.
Okay.
Tiger sharks are more dangerous than great whites.
Oh, yeah. They're aggressive as all get out. Heck yeah.
Aren't very aggressive at all, right?
No, they're not. But tiger shark will mess you up. They are like no joke. They're like the scary ones of all the sharks.
So now we have to mention this might be the best line in the movie. I know this is, and if my friend Jim is listening, he'll love this because that scene when they go to that guy and he's out there, and well, we caught a shark. Well, what kind of shark is it?
Oh,
he tells him it's a tiger shark.
What?
Give that man an Oscar.
So he tells him it's a tiger shark, which now we know is a very dangerous shark.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be the shark. And he says the bite radius is different from the wounds on the victim. So he wants to cut it open and see what it's eaten in the last 24 hours so they can be sure. Ew.
Ew.
Yeah, that's gross.
So here's a little trivia. That shark that they kill and have on the dock there was a real shark that was killed in Florida since there wasn't a big enough one in Martha's Vineyard area. So by the time it was there and ready for filming, it was like decomposing and it smelled really bad.
So bad.
Oh yeah.
And since it was hanging from its tail, this is like grosser than anything in the movie. Okay, since it was hanging the tail by its tail, its internal organs broke loose and they piled up in the back of its throat. And so it was even worse, like smelling for everyone who had to be around it.
I would not want to be the PA that had to be in charge of that. Ooh.
Oh my, no. And how long you'd have to shoot that scene to get people in the right place. Everybody's saying the right thing. That would have taken forever. I can't imagine how smelly it was.
That would have been like that. Just that bit of scene with the shark probably would have been easily a full day, if not two.
Oh, of course. Yeah. With all the extras, it would have been brutal. Definitely a full day.
Definitely a whole day. So now Alex's mom walks up and she just smacks the shit out of Brody.
Sure does.
Because she just found out about the girl who died before her son got eaten. And she gives this, really lovely speech. And she's apparently just a local actor they hired. Like, she was not some big Hollywood name. She was a local actor who they hired. Yeah, local actors.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it, local actors.
She's memorable for sure.
She was probably like SAG Boston or something.
Right.
But so she gives this great speech and basically just tells him off because she's like, you knew, like you already knew there was a shark. And when she walks away, the mayor says, I'm sorry, she's wrong. And he just says, Brody just says, no, she's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and it's such a good moment, like where he's taking that responsibility. And you're like, oh, ooh, that hurts. Like, because he can't even be mad at her. He just knows that he really fucked up.
Right.
And so Roy Scheider said in an interview that in that scene where Mrs. Kintner smacks him, she couldn't fake a slap. So she was actually hitting him every time.
I love those stories. Yeah.
Just hauling up and smacking him.
That happens a lot. Right. That happens a lot because you don't get the full, or you have to do like the swipe across the face and the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to like exactly time it, and then you have to like fake the nap. But they did 17 takes.
Oh,
wow. I'm not surprised. Well,
poor guy. That must have hurt.
Of him to allow her to do that, because actually a lot of the lead actors can say no and
would just be like,
no, or they do it once and then they just immediately cut to her. So that was nice of him.
No, he did all the takes.
Taking
for
one
it.
For the team right there. That's for sure. Yeah.
He took it. That would hurt. Oof. So then we're at dinner with Brody and he has the sweetest little moment with his youngest son. Do you remember this?
Where little he like
best make. Moment. Yeah. They're
making faces
them.
At each other.
I love that.
Yeah. And his son is copying his faces. And then he's like, give me a kiss. And his son's why? And he goes, because I need one. And his son just gives him this little kiss. Oh, it's the sweetest moment.
It's good. I like that.
Yeah, my husband
even
and son had
him against me.
Yeah. And my husband, that actually happens. My son copies my husband sometimes. So it's like a real moment that has happened.
So cute. So then they're eating dinner. Hooper shows up with two bottles of wine, a red and a white.
And he starts eating you gotta finish that? And he starts eating their food.
Is anyone eating this? He just takes Brody's half finished food, starts eating it. And then Brody uncorks one of the wines and pours himself like a regular glass of
Maybe
it.
Maybe
like
you
want to
let that
glass.
Breathe. Or
that's a
Europe.
That's a European nope. orb. And they definitely aren't sober at the end of that. And I love that line he has in it where he says, well, she asks him, can you do that? And he says, I can do anything I want. I'm chief of police.
Right? Yeah, I'm chief of police. So Hooper tells them this charming story, though, about why he studies sharks. And he tells them that he knows they caught a shark, but not the shark. And Brody asks Hooper about rogue sharks. Right. And so then he tells Hooper, all right, we'll go down and we'll cut the shark that was caught open. Fine. So the two of them go down there and they cut open the shark, and like Hooper's rooting around in it like a dumpster. Like he's just in there, like up to his shoulders practically.
So gross.
And they pull out some fish, a can. Dry. A Louisiana license.
I was going to say always a good trivia question for people to ask what state the license plate is from.
Louisiana. Yeah. He says, oh, this shark's been doing some traveling or something like that. But they find no bodies, no body parts. So this is not the shark.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun. Exactly. So they go out on a boat to track the shark right away, even though Brody's not happy about it.
What is the name of the boat?
I don't know, but it's a beautiful boat.
Well, this isn't that boat yet, I don't think.
Oh, you're talking. I'm sorry. You're right. Wrong scene.
Hooper and Brody.
That thing is awesome. Yes.
Yeah, they go out on like a sailboat or something, and they're like looking for it. And there's this great line where Hooper tells Brody, well, it doesn't make much sense for a guy who's afraid of water to live on an island. And Brody says, it's only an island if you look at it from the water.
Right. There you go.
Which, I again, another line. This movie great is line. Full of really great spot on
quotable
lines.
Quotable forever, right.
So they see something on the radar and they use the spotlight to look for it. And they find Ben Gardner,
Old Ben Gardner.
Cool boat with the lights on the bottom. That's the boat I'm talking about.
Yeah, they find his boat. It's all banged up. Mm-hmm. And Hooper gets his dive gear on and he goes down to investigate. And under the boat, do you want to tell it, Brianne?
Yeah, under please. In the boat, he pulls out a tooth. And every time I see that tooth, I'm like, I want that tooth. And then Ben Gardner's head pops out of the hole. And he drops the tooth every time he drops the tooth. And I'm so upset.
Oh, yeah, he drops it. I forgot about that. He does.
Drop the tooth.
Because it comes back later where they're like, have you got the tooth? And he's like, I dropped it.
To that horrible mayor guy. I'm
like,
well,
I would have too. That scene is scary when it's head. You're like, oh, I mean, that scene gets me to this day when I watch it. Yes.
So get this. That scene was not originally scripted.
Okay.
Steven Spielberg, he even says this. He says he got greedy after he saw the preview audience's reaction to the scene where the shark jumps out behind Brody's head, like later on in the movie. And he just wanted one more scare.
Okay.
So he reshot the scene at Ben Gardner's boat to get the head. And he said, then after he reshot that and added it in, that got the biggest scream. And then the next reaction, the appearance of the shark, only got half as much reaction as it used to. And he said it taught him a lesson that a movie can only have one major scare moment because afterwards the audience will be on guard against the film.
If that's what Steven Spielberg says, I'll trust him because he's pretty good at what he does.
So. I'm surprised he didn't then take it out, but I guess. He liked it.
I guess once they shot it, it was in. But yeah, he left it. So they tell Vaughn he can't open the beaches. There's a great white shark that made Amityville waters its hunting ground. And Hooper tells Vaughn that he pulled the white tooth out of the boat. And Vaughn says, well, where is it? And he says, I dropped it. And then Vaughn says, well, those beaches will be open this weekend for the 4th of July.
I love that billboard that they're standing there in that scene.
Vandalism.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Hooper tells him, Look at that. Those proportions are accurate.
But he's like, we need to hang those busters from their Buster Browns.
Right.
So people start arriving for the weekend and Brody and Hooper are trying to make calls and deal with the shark and everything. And then Vaughn goes to a friend who's like out at the beach as all these people are like,
please go get in the water.
I knocked my thing. Are walla wallaing around. He's like, please go in the water. Go in the water.
Very nice.
And they're so scared. His wife and him and his wife and his kids are like warily treading out
into
the ocean.
You can see
the
look on their face of like just terror, right?
Yeah. But it does. It breaks the seal. Everybody just starts swimming. And then we get underwater shots again.
Love it.
So someone sees the shark and screams and a lifeguard blows her whistle and there's a stampede and everybody's out of the water and these two kids pop up from under a shark fin
with
rifles in their
guns
faces.
Guns pointed at them, yes.
Right, with guns pointed at them off like a
like
Coast
about
Guard
to pee
boat
their
or something.
Pants, they're so scared, yes.
Yeah,
how they could all think that it was two kids is beyond me, just so
I know.
You know.
But anyways, they
must have not gotten too close or something.
I don't know.
But they seemed like they got right in there among everybody. I don't know.
Right.
People are dumb.
Yes.
People are dumb. True. So then a girl starts yelling, there's a shark in the pond.
There's a shark in the pond by the boat. Yeah.
In the estuary.
And that's where Brody had told his kids to take their boat out
because he thought it'd be safer.
He starts trucking. Oh man, he's
in the sand. Can you imagine that was so hard running like
good
that?
Oh my god. Even walking in the sand is kind of hard.
Yeah.
A good way
and
to
he's
blow
like
your knee.
Boots and everything on.
Yeah.
Like chucking across the sand.
Yeah. And so another man who's in a boat in the estuary gets knocked over and eaten by the shark, or his leg eaten.
No, he's in there.
No, his leg falls off.
Dude is in there and he's going, you kids okay in there? And then he falls over and there you see the shark coming. It just, oh, I love that scene. Love it.
And the older son, Michael, almost gets eaten, but the shark like swerves around him and keeps going.
Isn't that camera shot great? Like zips by him real fast. Love that. Oh yeah.
But it brushes his side. So he's like side, it like brushes his side, doesn't it?
I think so, or if not,
it comes really damn close.
Yeah. Too close.
All right, so I'll ask you guys this. Do you know what they named the shark?
Bruce.
You knew it. Yay. I knew you guys would. Do you know why?
It was named after Spielberg's lawyer.
That's correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. There you go. Ding, ding.
That's correct. And you both did great, though.
Thanks.
I have way too much useless information.
So Spielberg took a few friends, including George Lucas, to the effects shop. You guys know the story, I'm sure.
Yeah.
To see Bruce. And Lucas like stuck his head in its mouth, and the other guy snuck over to the controls and closed it on him.
Nice.
And he got stuck for a long time.
Yeah, I'd be upset.
And when they finally got him out, they all like ran away because they were afraid they damaged the shark. They didn't want to get caught.
Yeah, I probably would have been angry.
So now, after all this, Brody makes Vaughn sign a voucher so he can hire Quint to catch the shark. Brody and Hooper go to hire him, and Hooper says he'll go too. And I love this. Quint gives him a lot of crap. He doesn't want him to go. And then he finds, because he says, I'm the captain, I'm the first mate, I'm the this, I'm the that, I'm everything. And then he says, I'll take him for ballast, chief. And Brody says, you got him.
Right. Yep. Yeah, chief, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I'll take him for ballast, chief. You got him. So as they get ready to leave, Quint brings out his shark cage and he's putting it away. Yeah. And Brody is going to, and Ellen is really worried. She says, what am I going to tell the kids? And he says, tell them I'm going fishing. And this is when we get the boat. What's the boat named?
The Orca.
Oh, I forgot.
There you go. The Orca, also killer whale, right? Which is a known enemy of the shark.
The only known predator
of the great white.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We don't know. There might be sea monsters that are predators of the great white, but it's the only known predator of the great white.
This is true.
So they throw out a bunch of chum and they wait, and then they've got a bite on their big, they have like a huge fishing rod, like,
oh my God,
piano wire or something.
It has the freaking belt loop to strap yourself into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. He straps himself into a huge harness. Quint does. And they like, and he's struggling with the line. He says, he's down under the boat. And Hooper's
damn smart fish went under the boat.
You can both do it. I can't do it. And Hooper says, it's not a shark. And then they lose it. And they like argue about it being a shark. And we don't really ever find out if it was the shark or not, I don't think.
Mm. I think it was. I think it was. A tease of the shark. Yeah, to cut that wire. That had to be.
Yeah, it was screwing with them. Right. I believe it. That shark is scary,
sneaky.
Smart.
He's
like a jokester.
He's a sneaky shark.
Oh, Bruce.
Oh, Bruce, you sneakster. So later, Quint tells Brody to drop some chum again. So as he does, this is when the shark comes up almost in his face.
So I would just want my quick note on that. That's where he tells, why don't you go chum the water, chief? And I'll chum. And he's there smoking a cigarette. Why don't you chum some of this shit for a while? And then that's the part where the genius of the movie, we have not really seen this shark yet. We're about halfway in.
Yep.
And then when that thing comes up and the audience sees it, but Brody has his back and doesn't see it. So it's this kind of mix. And you go, oh my God.
Yeah. It's huge.
Look at this thing. Yes.
It's huge. So the shark comes up. Brody sees it. He backs into the cabin.
Whoa, he just like, oh my God. Yes.
Well, and he tells Quint. Backs into the cabin. Nothing on his face. He doesn't even say anything.
Yeah, he's just like frozen. Backing in. Mm-hmm. And he says to Quint the famous line. Yeah. I'll let you do it.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he says it over and over and over again. Well, you're going to need a bigger boat, right? We got to get a bigger boat, right?
And that
line. We got to go back in and get it.
Yeah, we got to call it. Called in. Call the Coast Guard. That line apparently was ad-libbed.
So there is a production company, I can't remember for the life of me the movies I've seen, called A Bigger Boat Productions. And they've made some movies, I think, and that's where they got
the name. Well, there's also one called Bad Hat Harry.
Oh.
Oh, really? Wow. I didn't like that.
Yeah. So it's I guess this movie has two production companies named for its quotes.
Yep.
So the shark, it heads straight past the boat and it starts like circling it. And Quint gets his harpoon and they've got these big, like, they've got those big barrels, like barrels. Floaty barrels.
Yep.
And so he gets his harpoon. And while they're like dealing with the shark, Ellen calls, Brody's wife calls, and Quint tells her they're just fishing. They haven't seen anything, yet.
Calls us right back. I'll be in
home and time for dinner. For dinner.
And and when Miss Brody, when she's trying to contact him on the Orca, the voice on Quint's marine radio, like as she's trying to contact them, is Steven Spielberg. That's his cameo.
I like it. Oh, don't forget, speaking of cameos, there's that one quick scene where the reporter's on the beach earlier.
Yeah, that's the writer.
That's the writer. Yeah.
That's Peter Benchley. Yep, very good.
So then they put this beeping, flashing tracker on a floaty barrel, yep. And they shoot the shark with the harpoon attached to it. And it, like, comes off, and he drags it under, and then they wait.
Yeah, those things are hard to drag under. It's
not
air
if you're a 7,000-ton shark.
Yeah, like they're trying to keep the shark up so they can get it, but it just dives under.
It sure does.
So then they have to wait for a while. And while they're waiting, they're drinking. And Quint and Hooper are actually like comparing scars and bonding.
This is my favorite scene ever.
It's everyone's,
favorite
and
scene.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but so they're like comparing their scars. And at one point, like Roy Scheider, Brody lifts his shirt up to show his appendix decision.
His appendectomy. Yeah.
It's a real scar. That's his.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
From his appendectomy. So Quint has a scar that Hooper asked about. That's from where he had a tattoo removed of the USS Indianapolis, and he has this beautiful speech about
pounding and hollering, and that's when they came to get me at the last minute, and I was going to drop the bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, about so it's about them being attacked by the Japanese and then sharks eating a bunch of them. And he talks about
this is all a true story. This really happened. People were in the water for days and they were eaten.
Apparently, they have played up the shark bit a little much.
Well,
really?
Well, it happened. This was true.
But yeah, yeah.
It's terrible.
So that monologue.
Amazing scene.
So Robert Shaw was apparently a really big drinker.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could tell. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And he drank to do this scene because he thought, I'm supposed to be intoxicated when I tell this story. So he got
a lot of actors do that too.
Well,
if it works,
they couldn't use anything that they shot that whole night
because he was so drunk.
That's awesome.
So later that night, he felt bad and he called Steven Spielberg and said, can I please have another try? And that next day of shooting, he did it in one take.
Dude, it's
of course
great.
He did. He's an amazing actor.
If
you get a chance, Google that scene and really get into each shot and how they framed it all and everything. It's really very well done.
It's really the whole movie is it's very well crafted.
Mm-hmm.
So they start singing and the floaty barrel shows up, but they don't notice because they're singing. They don't notice that the floaty barrel showed up, though, because they're singing. They don't hear it beeping.
What do they toast to?
Their legs.
Their legs, that's right.
And bow-legged women.
But they first toast to the leg. Toast to your leg.
I toast to your leg. Yeah,
they toast to each other's legs.
Oh, my God.
And then to bow-legged women. Yes. So they don't notice that the shark is back until the ship is being rammed.
Yeah.
Damn stupid. Yeah, was the fish went under the boat again?
Quint starts shooting at it, and just like that, it's gone.
Quint, you can't stop. Stop shooting at it.
And so you guys know there were three Bruces too, right?
Yes.
There were a bunch. Yeah, that's right.
So there was a right side Bruce, a left side Bruce, and then like a fully skinned one. And each one of them cost about $250,000.
I'm sure it did.
Which was more then than it is now, even.
Wow.
I believe it.
So the next morning they're working on the boat. The shark comes back. Brody calls the Coast Guard or goes to call the Coast Guard and Quint smashes the radio. So now they have no way.
Smashes it, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like that pisses me off. Come on. You don't do that.
He's hell bent on catching this thing and he's not going to let anything stop him.
They get another barrel on him. They get a second barrel on him.
Doesn't he go down with three?
It ends up being three. And they the shark is like chewing through the lines, the connecting it to the barrel. It's the whole thing's insane.
There's a great scene in the middle of that too, I think, or maybe a day before when they see the shark really for the first, and it swims by and Hooper's like, oh, it's got to be 20 feet. And Quint says 25, three tons of them.
So they're like trying to drag it back towards land and it starts dragging
the boat around
and they have to chop the line. So now the barrels aren't attached to the boat anymore. So they can't drag it anymore. And the shark comes back and rams the boat some more and starts chasing them. And then the engine's already damaged from it ramming before.
And the water.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah. And Quint pushes it. And so it starts smoking. And that's like, it's now they're stuck in the middle of the ocean in a dead boat. Right.
Now I bet you wish you had that radio.
Drunken fool.
So now they put on Hooper's shark cage so they can try to stab the shark in the mouth.
No way.
I want to go on a shark.
He's got cage. Like you're he's insane. Got something yeah, you're to like. Crazy. Oh my god, no!
Never.
I totally
ever,
do. After seeing that, I still want to do it. Like I've always wanted.
I'm terrified of large bodies of water. There's no way.
So he gets in this cage and they send him down and the shark heads for him immediately. And then it swims past him, comes to him from behind. He drops the big like pokey thing.
Needle.
He still has the little needle.
Big pokey thing. Yes.
Well, he still has the littler needle to like jab it in the mouth where he had, cause he couldn't get it through the skin.
Right.
And it breaks the cage and he tries to stab with the little needle, but he ends up escaping, getting out and hiding under a rock. And so good when thinking. Quint and Brody pull the cage up, it's empty.
Trash. Yeah.
But he was supposed to die, just so you know.
Yes, I knew that.
Yes, he was supposed to die, but they wanted at the end for him to come back.
Wow. Yeah.
He was supposed to die.
Okay.
Yeah. And so apparently they did that. So they had like two shark photographers, Ron Taylor and Valerie Taylor, like shoot a lot of that footage. Okay. And they constructed, because of the great white sharks wouldn't be as big as the one in the movie, they constructed a smaller cage and they would either have like a mannequin or a little person in it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Why is that making me laugh? But it's making me laugh.
I mean, makes sense, I guess, to do it, right?
Like an alien when they used the kids. In Alien, they used the kids to make the planet look bigger and more imposing.
Right, that's what I meant. Like, yeah, you have like a kid or someone to do it, I guess. So yeah, like for perspective or whatever, I guess. But
yeah,
I don't know. They wouldn't have done it this way now, I doubt. But
so then the shark jumps partway on the boat and it eats Quint.
Mm. Okay, so this scene. So I've seen this movie a billion times. This is my favorite scene. But when you see the shark on, like, it gets bigger every time I see the movie. Like, how is it possible to be this big? This thing is like 50 feet long. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge.
But he belly flops right on
the.
He comes through. Well, he comes.
Oh, I love it.
He comes through like the window or something. It tries to get Brody in the cabin. It gets all the way up on the shark. And then it like tries to get Brody in the cabin. And he throws a CO2 canister in its mouth and it goes away for the moment. Then he climbs the mast and he stabs the shark when it comes after him because the boat is now like half submerged.
Yes.
Well, because
so he's like up in the mast.
Sharks in the nose.
In the nose.
Punch
to
him in the
make
nose.
Him run away. Yeah.
That's where all their
but not this
are.
Shark.
So no. He's got his pistol and he tries to shoot the tank and he keeps shooting and he finally manages it and the shark just goes.
What is the line he says right before he fires for the last time though?
Die, you son of a bitch.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. And so the shark just goes boom and he completely blows up.
Yep, I love it.
And that's when Hooper resurfaces and he swims to Brody and they both just start laughing.
Well, I love the line when he asks him, you know, he says, you know, Hooper says, Quint, like asking, and Hooper, and Brody just shakes his head and he goes, no.
No. Yeah.
But right. I always think in that moment, if you're surrounded by a bunch of shark guts, you better start moving fast because
more sharks are coming.
Or would it be like in like,
time. I'm like, let's get moving, people. No talking. Let's go.
We don't have time to play. Let's go.
I mean, you would think
so then they use the barrels to swim back to shore. And that's
of course, because that's
the
what
nice,
you think of.
The nice music is playing and the seagulls are out. Everyone's happy now. And we're safe.
Do you know how tired they were? Probably.
Oh my God. They have to swim for so long in that scene.
So long.
Dude.
So like they swim because you see them get from like, you see them get almost all the way into the beach. Like,
yes.
Oh yeah.
It's a really long shot.
Those poor extras. They were so tired probably.
Yeah. It was probably stuntmen. So they were in like all better shape and stuff.
Probably. But still, I mean, even if real life, if they swam from where they were all the way, that's a long time. That's a long time, people. It would be dark.
And you got to go at the angle because you got to beat out the current also, right? So
I think so. So, okay. So I have a trivia now that we're done with the movie. I have a trivia that I don't think either of you is going to know.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Ready.
Have you guys heard of The Lady of the Dunes?
I feel like I've heard of this, but I can't tell you what it means.
No. So on July 26th, 1974, a 9-year-old girl was walking her dog and she found the decomposing body of an unidentified woman in the Race Point Dunes of Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Provincetown. P-Town. I love P-Town. It's amazing.
They believe that this young woman may have been an extra in Jaws.
No.
No kidding.
There's like, there are like shots where people are like, I think that's her.
I did not know this. That's a great piece of trivia. That's awesome.
Yes.
I didn't know that either. Interesting.
Thank you for making us smarter.
There you go. I got one. And thank you to friend of the show, Sarah, for sharing that one with me. I got it from Sarah. I can't take full credit. But she said, I bet you'll get Matt with this one. And I was like, you know what? I just might.
You did. You sure did. You got me. That's awesome.
So all right. So what do we think? Do we love this movie?
I mean, obviously.
I mean, I think we just love it.
I remember I had this obsession. I've always loved it, but I had this obsession like in the summer of 2000, maybe it was. I'm dating myself here. They re-released the special edition on VHS. Sorry, guys. But I remember buying it. And like at that time, there were a lot of shark attacks happening like on the East Coast also. And I just remember watching Jaws like 8 times over a span of like 12 weeks. I swear to God, like every other week I was watching Jaws. I could just watch it over and over again. Yeah, it's Spielberg. I mean, it's the first summer blockbuster. It's all these great things put together. It's the story of, you know, like Captain Ahab. That's Quint. He's hunting, you know, not the whale, but he's hunting the shark this time. It's just like, I love it.
So next question.
Yes.
Is it actually a horror movie?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask.
Yes, I think it's a horror movie.
I've never thought of it. Right.
There's blood. There's a monster. There's someone that's killing, aka Bruce. It is a horror movie.
I've never thought of it otherwise.
I think that's a good point. It was brought up to me, is it really a horror movie? And I was like, I mean, yeah. And then I was like, well...
No,
but
it is
also kind of an adventure, like a sailing adventure.
Adventure? I would never say it was an adventure.
It's a hardcore one. A thriller. Don't forget, I would say that.
It's rated PG. How about that?
Yeah, but you can have a horror that's still PG.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying it was just kind of funny how ratings, that was just a different system rating at the time. It's just interesting now to look at it, I guess.
Yeah, so, it's a horror. It's a horror.
I think so.
Okay, so we'll say it's a horror. It's a horror film. That's why we're reviewing it.
And it scares you. You jump. You're surprised. And also, you're waiting for the attacks. You have the suspense. It's a horror.
Go Google any top 10 horror movie lists. It's in the top 3 of any of those lists.
That's true. So. And we're reviewing it, so it must be a horror film.
I mean, you guys are like the pinnacle of what's horror.
We are the arbiters of horror.
I guess. Well, you know what? You can call it whatever the heck you want. It's awesome. How about that?
It is awesome.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. It's probably one of my top movies, like top 3. Like, I love that movie.
There are a couple sequels, whatever. And nowadays, there's tons of like shark movies. But for me, like, this is it. Like, I really don't give a crap about any other ones. This is the shark movie. This is it.
Oh, I'll watch any shark movie. I'll watch them. Horrible. Like, Meg was on and my husband's like, what are you watching? I was like, it has a shark in it. Leave me alone.
Sharknado.
And
right.
I haven't watched any of the other ones.
They're terrible. I've watched all the Jaws's. I've watched them so many times. One, two, or
Jaws,
two, three, and four.
Remember
I've
Jaws
seen part
3D?
Of two.
I've
so
seen Brianne, all of them. I've
Brianne
seen all
knows
of
this
them.
One. Remember Jaws 3D at the end when it slowly, like, computerized comes in and like, smashes it so bad.
Smashes the glass. You're like, please. But I'll watch any of them. If they are on or any shark movie is on, I will watch any of them.
That's a great point. If it has a shark, I will tune in. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, Brianne.
Yes.
Tell us where the people can find more of you.
Oh my God, that is the best question all night.
There you go.
Please come find me on Instagram at the Brianne Davis. My at secretlifenovel.com or worldwide, wherever you want it. I just finished the Audible. Or come to Secret Life Podcast, where we tell people's secrets and it's juicy and, you know, like it's that. All, it's kind of your own like human horror where you, we go through like emotional horror and get to the other side of like hope and serenity and peace.
I like that. So for us, next up on the podcast is You're Next. So be looking for that.
Oh, my friend AJ's in it. AJ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's
my brother. I love that movie. I love that movie.
Haven't seen it.
It's so good.
I'm looking forward.
Synchronicity and among friends together. I love that.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Oh, I love that movie. anyways, so guys, please remember to subscribe, follow us on the podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, wherever you're listening, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever it is, so that more people can find us. And don't forget to send us your movie suggestions, your thoughts on the movies we've watched so far, really pretty much anything you want to tell us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram too, at The Scary Movie Project. Peace out.
Don't swim after dark.
The Scary Movie Project podcast is produced by Tara Garwood and Matt Lulich. Learn more at thescarymovieproject.com.
Stay connected with The Scary Movie Project. Visit our website, thescarymovieproject.com, at The Scary Movie Project on Instagram and Facebook, and email us at thescarymovieproject@gmail.com.